Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Yes. It is another day in paradise. Welcome, everybody. Yeah, from all parts of the globe. And I really mean that. I really appreciate your input and your the spirit that's driving you to listen to the show today. And I know that we've had countries like Malawi, Nigeria, Bangkok, Germany, South Africa. Actually, there's two in South Africa, actually. Singapore, Canada, United Kingdom, Austria, Australia, and Thailand, I believe. Yes. Welcome again. Well, it is another day in paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio where every day is a holiday and the party never stops. Yay! All right, fantastic. A little delay, that's okay. All right, welcome. Oh, here I am. Am I there now? Yes, absolutely. So welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected. All right. So we always start with an opening prayer, a good universal prayer. So, like I've always mentioned on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as a universal theme. And it's not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for the angels you have sent amongst us, reminding us of your presence, grace, and mercy. Thank you for the attitudes of gratitude you have given to us to give back to you. Thank you for the favor of clear thinking minds you have given us. Oh man, so important. Thank you. Thank you for our positive associations to help us keep connected to our higher purpose. Amen. All right, for show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all the necessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book, Reconnected, and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, the Jazzy Yoga Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, and my favorite health food store, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com. That's N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, bookclub@gmail.com. Or his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishments of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you. Nazim?
Yes, it is time for the new you. It is time for the new you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. Well, this is a personal growth program, in case you didn't figure it out by now, with your inner peace in mind. Absolutely. The discussions here will be based, directly or indirectly, on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. In this book, I will talk about how you can fill those emotional voids experienced in childhood. I will teach you to become a time traveler. Yes, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing, becoming a senior advisor and mentor to your child self, the little self you once were. So keep that in mind. When I'm saying child self, I'm not talking about the inner child, which is wonderful also. I'm talking about the flesh and blood human person that you once were. That 3-year-old self, 8-year-old self, 10-year-old self. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Absolutely. So I will teach you how to create the fictional character, the mentor, you, acting as the mentor to your child self. I will teach you how to have sessions with your child self as you address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome to one of your desire. This way, you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. Hear that? Unresolved past issues. That's the problem most people are having today. That's why marriages aren't working. You know, relationships are falling apart, jobs are temporary, depression, addictions, because you're dealing with unresolved past issues. Yes. Well, my messages and benefits are also for parents who want new information for raising the best emotionally balanced children possible. I have a 3-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to youtube.com and put in the search, Reconnected, The Parents Manual. Again, Reconnected, The Parents Manual. More benefits. Those who are mentors can be better role models from their personal development materials along with teachers. My message extends to couples. More benefits. Couples wanting a healthier, empowering relationship from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills. Now, I also have a video regarding relationships. YouTube.com, put in Reconnected, the Relationship Manual. Again, Reconnected, the Relationship Manual. All right, benefits keep coming. There are more. I have a real personal investment in addiction recovery, as I went through that myself. That's how I made my transformation. And I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter and Codependency chapter. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. It is also beneficial to those suffering from anger, abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual, and controlling issues. I'm sure a lot of y'all know people who fall into one or more of these categories. Well, my messages are also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. You see, my book Reconnected is really a multi-purpose manual, a parent's manual, teacher's manual, an addiction recovery manual, mentor's manual, a relationship manual, a human manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels, and creating the life you have always desired. You know, so many of us can't stand looking in the mirror. We see faults everywhere. The eyes aren't right. The nose isn't right. The hair isn't right. The skin isn't right. It's so many problems. The teeth aren't right. Ears aren't right. So many things that aren't right when you look at yourself. Instead of seeing the beauty, the gift that God gave you, staring at you right there. You see, so that's why it's very important to understand the benefits of loving yourself at deep levels and loving the self behind the self. Yeah, that's what my book Reconnected does. Absolutely. And learning how to be a co-creator, creating the life you've always desired. And believe it or not, you're co-creating whether you know it or not anyway. So you might as well do it consciously and create what you really want to have instead of what you don't want to have. Very important. And we're going to talk about some of that today, actually. So here's my statement to you. I'm committed to sharing practical tools with and supporting those who want an envision for themselves, an abundant life, an empowered life, an independent thinking life, a spiritual life, a reconnected life. Well, all right. Okay, today's theme, home is where the heart is, with our good friend, supporter of the show, child and family therapist and author Midge Noble out of North Carolina. And yes, home is where the heart is. Well, she will be speaking to us today on this topic, which is under the category of finding your inner magnet. She will discuss our connection to source and why that is important in attracting wonderful things into our lives. Midge will talk about faith and spirituality versus religion and how we fit into the bigger picture. Well, get ready today to challenge yourself and your beliefs. So, without any further ado, we bring to you Midge Noble. Midge, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Rosin.
All righty then. We're so glad to have Midge back on the air, you know. I'm sure everybody, just take a minute to breathe. Now, that's so much better when Midge is on the air. Everybody has to agree to that.
That's
yes.
Very sweet.
Yes, the air is better. We just know that We have something good coming. It's kind of looking, when you look at a fruit tree that has the oranges and the apples and grapefruit, and you know it's good. And before you pick it off, you start imagining how it's going to be in your mouth and just you're feeling appreciative even before you pick it off the tree. That's how it is with Mitch today. We know it's going to be good.
That's quite an introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, all right, Mitch. All right, very good. How's the weather in North Carolina?
The weather is very, very cold here. It's still in the very low 30s. And it's quite chilly, and there's a brisk little breeze flowing through. So it's energizing, very energizing.
I see. I can feel it.
Right?
I can feel it. I've lived through that in Chicago. I know how that feels. Okay.
Yes, today.
So home is where the heart is. So this is a very kind of abstract kind of title. And when you look at it, you say, well, home is where the heart is. Really? What's all about? So help us break that down and bring us into the topic in your most grand fashion.
Thank you, darling. Well, if you really think about what guides everything in our bodies, the brain is usually the first thing you think about. But the brain is very analytical, and yes, it runs everything in the body. But when your heart stops beating, you're done. So you've got to remember that where source, creator of all that is, lives within us is in our soul. The breath of life when we pass over goes back to God who created us. And that breath of life is like the heartbeat or the soul of a person. And that resides in our heart. So if you want to really be at home, if you want to be connected and aligned to source, then you have to know where your heart is. You have to know what your heart is connecting to, what your heart is filled with. And that's why I wanted to kind of guide us in that direction. So as we're getting set up for today, I want to read the prayer from St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, let me be an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. So when I'm looking at that prayer and I'm thinking about my connection to Creator and in the context of what we've been talking about, nothing for the last, however many, sessions here, is that we want to be our own inner magnet. We want to be able to be so full of Creator's love and inspiration that whatever we can imagine, we can draw to us. If we don't fill our heart with the right things, we can't attract anything positive back to us. So what we fill our heart with is so vitally important to being able to attract anything that we're wanting to attract. So we have to make sure where our heart is.
Yeah, keep going. Sounds great. Keep going, please.
Okay. So, I'm always on this journey of discovery. And I want us all to remember that spirituality and our connection to source is a very individual journey. You and I are connected as a brother and a sister because we are from the same amazing source. But that doesn't mean your understanding of what that is for you is always going to be exactly how I understand it. Your spiritual path, although from the same place, may be done differently than mine. But that doesn't make me wrong, and that doesn't make you wrong. It is our own individual journey. So sometimes when we're looking for a connection to source, we feel the need to align with people with like minds. We want to be a part of a community. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. What happens is we get disconnected or out of alignment with source when we start to put judgments and demands on other people to do it our way. And we've got to be really careful about that, because there are many ways to Arizona. I could take lots of different, you know, roads. I could fly.
Right.
I could take, you know, I could do it lots of different ways, but that doesn't mean that I'm still not going to get to the same destination. And I believe that our spiritual path has to be that way, because we are so individualized. We've talked before briefly about sacred contracts on this program, and we've talked about the possibility that each of us, in our inspired divinity, when we were, you know, created, made a contract that we would come to Earth and be in this body, in this space, to learn the spiritual lessons that we want to learn, to make ourselves more light-filled, or you know, go through a period of contrast so that we can figure out how to stay connected. But once we get here, we kind of disconnect from the whole reason we thought we were coming. So finding that, you know, path back to Creator is part of the journey. So the struggle that we go through, the disappointments that we go through, the things that create fear in our life, whether it be illness or loss of a job, or someone doing something hurtful to us, all of these contrasting experiences is our chance to be able to find alignment in the contrast. You asked me before the show, how was my holiday? And I said, well, if I stay in alignment, it'll be better next year.
Right.
And I said that because sometimes family get-togethers and the demands of family and the expectations of family can kind of pull you away from your own alignment, because people...
Oh, my God.
Isn't that true?
Got that right. Got that right.
Yeah. And so my job as a spiritual connected soul needs to be that even when I'm going through contrasting relationships and people who may be a little toxic or people who may not be lined up the way I'm lining up, I have to learn to stay aligned no matter what. And if I recognize in my feelings, in my heart, that I am feeling bitterness, if I'm feeling resentful, if I'm feeling anger, if I'm feeling judgment, that's not their problem. That's my problem. Because I've allowed whatever I'm looking at and whatever I'm experiencing to take me away from the love that I want in my heart and the love that I am commanded to give to the world. So as I've been going through my journey, you know, one of the things that I do is I make sure that I try to figure out, and one of the, what I'm going to say is something a little bit new, but when Esther and Jerry Hicks started channeling Abraham, they came up with a book called Ask and It Is Given, and they talked about this emotional guidance system. And
right.
It's sort of like you can imagine a ladder, and at the low rungs of the ladder, you know, we have resentment, anger, hate, prejudice, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. On the higher
right.
rungs of the ladder, we have love, joy, peace, compassion, enthusiasm, those types of feelings. And you can imagine that Creator of all that isn't hanging down at the low rung of the ladder. You know, love, all love, light, joy, compassion, always seeing the good in everyone, always believing, always, you know, having compassion. So I have to try to make sure that in every moment of my day, I'm aligning up with the kind of feelings that Creator has.
Right.
And when I find myself disconnected, that's when I know I'm out of alignment. And I have to do something to get myself back in. So what I wanted to do today in this time that we have is to just kind of talk through the different things that I've done to stay connected and that I'm still doing and the things that I'm still aspiring to do really well.
All right.
Until I cross over, I ain't there yet, and perfection is not going to happen.
It's not.
I'm sorry. Let's stomp our foot and put our little boo-boo lips out. No, it's not. So I'm a work in progress, surprise. And there are times that I catch myself frequently falling, you know, down a few rungs and then having to either figure it out myself, or some of my loved ones are very quick to give me inspiration and say, hey, don't you want to
They are.
And I may not welcome their comment in the beginning, but I do hear them eventually. Okay.
We always say thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want you to think I'm some sage on the mountain and I can't, you know, I can't come down. I come down quickly, but I get myself back up, and that's the most important part. I get myself back up.
Right.
All right, so one of the things that I have become very attuned with and something that I believe in 100% and is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say that that's not it's not okay, it's not spiritual, meditation is not prayer, who do you think you are? Well, who I think I am, you know, is a spiritual person that is connected to God and that has God within me. When I pray, I am usually asking for something. I'm like, God, help me. Or, God, what were you thinking? I'm usually like having some sort of a question or an exasperation in my voice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes it's thankfulness. I'm saying thank you, you know, for this or what's coming into my experience. But when I meditate, it is a chance for me to be quiet. It is a chance for me to stop asking. I may pose a question to get enlightenment, but it's not like me asking for something. You know, I'm not going to God as my parents saying, will you get me this? When I ask a question, it may be something like, how can I have more trust? Or how can I be more compassionate? And then I wait in meditation, and I try to line myself up with either the thought of love or compassion, and I stay quiet. God can't speak to us if we're always speaking.
Right.
And God can't speak to us if we're always demanding. But in those moments of quietness, and you hear it from every spiritual leader, in those moments of quiet, that's when you can hear. That's when the wisdom comes in. You know, a thought may float through as you're meditating, or a person may come into your mind, and you're like, oh, I think I'll reach out to them today. And then you find that when you do, they've got something that you've been looking for. They've got something to say that helps you, you know, on your own path. So if we can take time every single day to meditate and stay connected to Source in that way, it's extremely powerful. I love to do it first thing in the morning because
right.
It sets my intention for the day. But, anytime you can do it is brilliant, and it's very good. I've recently connected to the Deepak Chopra and Oprah series of meditation. They've done several 21 days of meditation.
Yes.
I never did it as they were doing it globally because the timing was not working out for me, but I've gotten the tape since then, and I've been going through them, and they are absolutely awesome. I just am getting so much out of the direction that they go and the centering thought that they give, and it's just really, really good. So meditation is one of my key ways of staying connected. The other thing that I've done in the last few years is I make sure that I immerse my complete attention on images and words and relationships that will uplift, inspire me, and things that are filled with light. Because whatever I put my attention on is what I'm drawing to me. And there's a lot of clutter out there on social media, sometimes in our relationships and families, and sometimes just in the things that we choose to read that really put us in a place of anger, judgment, choosing sides, and disconnection. So when I choose programs to watch on television, when I choose whether or not to look at the news in the morning, I may be looking at it for like a update on the weather, or I may be looking at it for a segment that may be something that was positive, but I will either fast forward or turn off anything that starts to bring me distress. Now, some people say to me, well, Liz, why don't you just put your head in the sand or, you know, be in a bubble somewhere? How do you expect to be a part of the world if you're not up to speed on all of the terrible things that are happening?
Well,
my answer to that is I'm not the leader of the free world, and I don't I can't necessarily change the things that are happening in this world, but I can change me and my alignment to it. You know, Mother Teresa said, don't call me to be a part of a rally against war.
Right.
Call me when you're doing a peace rally. Because
right.
she knew she wasn't going to put her attention or her emotional feelings into something that was negative. Because when hate wants to hate, someone coming in with a peaceful word isn't necessarily going to stop it. We have to stop it ourselves. And if
mm-hmm.
we stop focusing on the things that are negative, then it loses power. And it's going to lose power for you first, and then if every person begins to choose to do that, then there will be no more war or any need to do things like that, because it's not going to be in our awareness, and we'll stop creating it.
Mm-hmm.
So
how about when folks actually say, well, like, Midge, if you're not concerned about current events or what's going on in the world, how would you even be up to date as a, how the world is even turning?
Right. And what I say to them is the world is going to turn in my corner of the world the way I create it.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be – so, for example, just like what's happened in the last few years for me, you know, there's been what people call a depression almost, and a recession or whatever words they're using these days. And people say people are getting paid less. And in our state of North Carolina, they've completely done wacky-doodle things with our Medicaid system and reimbursements for providers in the counseling profession. And there has been a lot of contrast that has flowed around with that. And through that contrast, I kept coming out of alignment because there was fear about, oh, my gosh, am I going to get paid? There was concern about why aren't they paying me and why aren't – yeah, there was a lot of contrast. And I had to keep pulling myself back into alignment. At one point, I joined a group on Facebook that was all about this contrast, the way people were being paid. And I would read post after post of everybody being mad. And I thought – I did it for about a week. And then I thought, I'm totally getting pulled out of alignment because
I guess
so. So I stopped it. You know, sometimes it takes me a while, but I get there. So I stopped it. I quit joining the group, and I quit reading newspaper articles, and I just kept being a powerful co-creator of getting my money to flow to me with ease and fast and snappy right the first time, and now it's happening. My money is flowing. I bill it. It comes in. Other people are still complaining. I'm still getting paid because I changed my point of attraction.
Wow.
The other thing that happened in the last year, we have been a part of the co-creation to build a cabin on the mountain. Through all of this lack of money, the money supposedly not flowing, everybody having a hard time selling houses, buying houses, getting loans,
mm-hmm.
all this kind of stuff, my cabin's on the mountain. My cabin's on the mountain. Almost ready to put my Bukakis in there. And the reason that it is, I know, right? I can say that on air, right? But anyway,
it's okay.
The reason that it is because I didn't buy into the fact that I couldn't. I bought into the fact that I've co-created it and it will come, and it surely has. So I don't have to know what's going on in the world to create my world. I don't care if I'm in a bubble. I would prefer to be in a midge bubble and have my source aligned with me than worry anything about what's going on. If it affects me, then I've either created it or it's going to be a contrast that I'm going to need to go through in order to get me to another level. So either way, I'm either going to go through it to use it or I'm going to go through it to take a U-turn or whatever I need to do. But I'm not going to put attention to it if it's going to be something negative or draws me out of alignment.
Right, exactly, yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. Well, of course it makes sense to me. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense in the world.
That's right,
and
you wrote the book.
I suppose you have those, well, okay, that sounds good, you know. But, you know, CNN is real. Fox News is real. And ABC News, that's real. I can see it. I can touch the TV. I can see the war. I can, you know, that's really going on. People are shedding blood. That's real, Midge. You know what you're talking about is some other world I can't see and touch. So how can I accept something I can't see and touch?
That's a good question. Well, and my answer to them right this second would be I can touch that cabin. it's nice pine wood. There's a nice polished wood floor inside. And that's where, you know, it goes back to the word faith. You know, nobody told me who created God. I still don't have the answer to that. It's beyond my physical understanding as to how someone, you know, because I'm the chicken and the egg person, something has to come first. So, you know, okay, something still has to be first, and how do you get first when there was nothing there? So I don't understand any of that. But what I do understand is that when I'm in alignment, when I'm living through love and compassion and joy and peace and with an open heart, I feel good and miraculous things can happen. And because I've allowed myself to trust that without having all the answers, I see the evidence coming that is the hardcore evidence. I see money in my wallet. I can touch it. I can spend it. I see the cabin has presented itself. You know, we're working on other great things out there. So when I start to see the evidence of my attractions coming to me, and I realize that they started coming to me when I started being my own inner magnet and allowing Source to work through me and to help me be a co-creator, that's all I need to know. And as I've learned, you know, I was in the same space as other people who say that. You know, I looked at, you know, Ellen DeGeneres and all of her billions, and I looked at Wayne Dyer living in Maui, and I looked at Louise Hay coming from nothing and owning her own Hay House, you know, company and publishing her own stuff, and I'm like, how did they do that? You know, Oprah growing up poor and going through all she's gone through, and look at her now, you know, own network. And I started paying attention and immersing myself in their books, in their teachings. You know, I had already read the Bible. I knew that faith as little as a mustard seed could move mountains, but I couldn't seem to move the mountain. And the thing that I didn't realize was I wasn't moving the mountain because I hadn't aligned with it. I wasn't really, I might have had the, you know, the faith of a child that there was a God, but I had too many questions and I had too many experiences that kept, you know, I kept being pulled off that path. And so once I decided that I'm going to give this a chance and I'm going to believe in my ability to be a co-creator because the divine lives within me, it changed everything. It changed everything.
Now, how long did that process take, though?
Well, I'm 54 now. So so it's been a life journey, my darling. It's been a life journey. But I can tell you that probably, I know, right? But it's really been on fire for me from the moment that I started really looking at, you know, the teachings of Abraham and Wayne Dyer and really looking at the law of attraction. It's probably been in the last 10 years.
Okay. I see. So it didn't just start last month, huh?
Oh, no. But I'm getting better and better at it as I go, and I'm feeling better and better every day. And one of the reasons is that I'm paying attention to how I feel, and I have to really connect with at any moment. If I'm having a conversation with someone and I recognize that I am dipping off of my, you know, ladder into some negative feelings, I've got to challenge that. I've got to figure out how to, you know, send love to that person, or I have to figure out how to, you know, choose to pardon them if they're being, you know, hateful in their speech, or, you know, to go back to that prayer that we read at the beginning that, you know, if someone is full of sadness and I'm starting to feel like their sadness is sucking me in, I have got to generate joy within myself that I'm a being of light. And their journey, although I may have compassion for them, I do not have to feel their experience. I can be compassionate and not be wallowing in the negativity of what they're talking about.
Okay. So, now you right there, you know, that's pretty hard for a lot of folks to hear, because they figure that if they're gonna hear someone's concerns, they gotta be a part of it. They gotta be a character in that person's play.
Yeah. And the reason that's not a good idea is because then you can't help that person get out of the play. You know, if I am, and I do this every day, you know, I'm a therapist in town and I work with children who have been abused and neglected, and their stories can be absolutely horrendous. And I have to be very aligned with Creator, knowing that their path is their path. They're experiencing what they're experiencing for them. My job in all of that is not to feel sorry or send weak energy to them. My job is to have compassion, understand where they're at, and show them a light to get past it. And it doesn't mean that I don't feel sad from time to time, but I don't allow myself to wallow in that, and I don't allow myself to be so drawn into it that I can't help them. And it's the same way with abused animals that, you know, I'm huge into, you know, caring for animals and you know, helping animals out in my community. But if I feel outraged at the abuse, if I allow myself to hate the person who abused an animal, then I am down on the bottom rung, and I cannot create better for that animal or for that person who's lost their way. Do I agree with what they've done? Absolutely not. But I will not allow myself to come to a place of anger, because then I am not aligned and then I am not of service. We have a zoo here in North Carolina, and apparently 3 baby cougars are going to be coming to our zoo. And I was with some folks last night for supper, and somebody was talking about the cougars, and they said, oh, well, yeah, but did you hear why they're coming? You know, what had happened and why we were getting them? And I said, I don't want to know. My joy is in the cougars are coming, and they're cute, and they're babies, and isn't that sweet that they got rescued somehow for some reason, and they're coming. Great. I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to put my attention on whatever happened, because that pulls me out of alignment. It's not my business. My business is to love like to those cougars and to whoever may be, you know, enjoying it. You know, do I like the idea of a zoo? Not really. If I were to, you know, dwell on it, I don't want any animals to be in captivity. But I know that some animals need to be. Some animals that choose to be in captivity then give people an awareness of how to be more like-minded with animals and love them and care for them. So there's a purpose in all of that. So I don't put my attention on whether I necessarily like it or don't like it. I just choose to stay in the light of all of that.
Right, exactly, exactly. Well, it makes more sense. So are you saying that if you look at, you know, say you're in someone's house and they happen to have, you know, one of those drama soap operas on, you know, and you happen to be over there and all this stuff is going on that they happens in those things and so forth, what do you do then? Because, you know, you don't want to be, you know, rude or mean to anybody. So you're over there, you know, visiting your girlfriend, Joan, and she has one of those things on TV. What do you do?
Well, what is it? You mean like an actual television program?
She's watching one of those drama sitcoms or drama soap operas where people are having those issues against one another and all that, and you have to be in that environment. And so what do you do?
Well, one of the things I do when I set up a time to go see someone is I figure out what the plan is. You know, what are we going to be doing? You know, and so if I'm going to dinner, then, you know, I can be a part of the conversation and figure out which direction that's going to go. If I am there, and that even happens in my own home. I mean, there are times that something will come on. You know, my partner will turn something on the television, and I don't align with it. And so I will come into another room and, you know, play, you know, one of my videos that I like, or I'll read a book that inspires me, or I'll do something else. You know, I don't have to judge another person or tell them to shut it off. I'll just go do something else. So, but if I were there and somebody started and said, do you want to watch this? And they asked me the question, I would probably say, no, I'm not really into that. Can we do
that? Exactly.
So
exactly. But if you come in, it's already on. Say you ring the doorbell, how you doing? And you it's on already. You come into it, it's already on. Do you say, well, let me go out and come back when it's over with, or let me go to the bathroom for a while until a commercial comes on? I mean, what do you do then?
Well, what feels right to me would be to just let them take the lead with that and then me disconnect inside my brain. You know, I can have a conversation while they're watching their show, and I can be partly in and partly out. You know, I can. That's a great way to play inside my own head. Actually,
okay.
I can test my alignment. you know, when I get into a situation that I absolutely don't feel like I want to control, like I'm not going to be rude and say, oh, I can't believe you're watching that, girl. What's your problem? And I'm not going to do that. Like you said, I'm not going to be rude. But if they're going to try to visit with me while they have that on. Now, I have said, do you mind if we turn that down? I can't hear you.
Right.
And they'll go, oh, let's cut that off. I always have it running. So that has happened many times. Somebody, you know, can we turn it down? Or, wow, that's really loud. Can we turn it? I can't hear you. And that works brilliant. Okay.
Oh.
So I can do that. Or if somebody just says, oh, I've been waiting to watch the show and I want you to see it, I've done this about a book before, and I've done this on the show before. I said, well, I don't like that show. Or I said, you know, that book doesn't really resonate with me. And I won't see it. And I, you know, the people who know me and love me, they kind of get that anyway. And the people who don't really know me, I'm not usually in a situation where I'm that, you know, like that. But I would not have any problem telling someone, well, that's not really what I'm into. Or to ask them to turn it down because I can't hear them. When I come from a place of compassion and say, I really want to spend time with you. I want to focus on what you're saying. That's distracting me. You know, then they feel heard, and then they feel important. And that's what I wanted all along, is for them to feel important.
Well, yeah, I understand. Makes all the sense in the world. You know, sometimes we're put in difficult situations when we find ourselves all of a sudden surrounded by all the energies that don't align with our inner selves. And so, well, what do we do now? and those are good ideas for sure, you know, to go in. Now, also, Ms., you talked about describing the difference between spirituality and religion. And, you know, a lot of people still, you know, don't really get that part there. So break that down for us if you can.
Well, in my mind, religion is the doctrine. Religion is the rules of what people choose to live by. It's the infrastructure of what they believe you have to do in order to have enlightenment or salvation. And so it's more about the steps. For me, spirituality is about the heart. It's about your connection. It's about knowing your worth, and that above all else, we have to know where we came from. We have to know that source is within us, and that from the moment of our conception, we are worthy. Spirituality allows you to be connected to everything that Creator creates, because in everything there is energy, and spirituality is energy. So I may choose to be spiritual and follow certain religious rules. I may choose to be spiritual and align with a group of like-minded people that feels comfortable to me. But there are some people who are only about the religious rules and doctrine, and they lose compassion and kindness and light energy and co-creation because just so connected to this very narrow footpath that only allows only 1 foot at a time. And I see spirituality as like the big earth. I see that all of us are connected in this big web of life, and that if we stay connected to Creator and Source, then, you know, we would never hurt another person, or we would never judge another person, because we would be filled so much with compassion. So that's how I break it down.
I see. Now I also see that someone hearing that would say, well, I thought they're both the same thing. You know, when I go to church, I'm told that, you know, the spirit is inside the church and it's all wrapped up in one. You can't separate the two, and you're saying you can separate the two, and they're different entities. And I thought it was all one thing and so forth. So how can a person encompass it all and be okay?
Well, you know, I think that's a good argument as far as that spirit can be in churches. Yeah, there are some very spirit-filled churches, but some churches that call themselves spirit-filled are not really just spirit-filled. They're also filled with hypocrisy and backbiting and, you know, and judgment and prejudice. And some churches, their mission to, you know, put down certain groups of people and exclude certain groups of people. So I'm not saying I'm not saying that you couldn't have a church that is spirit-filled. But you know, like, because we're not all perfect, there, you would have to really have some completely spiritual, energized, light-filled beings to say, okay, we'd like to meet together in this place and keep it inclusive for all who want to join us without us judging how they're dressed or how they show up or what they're choosing necessarily to, you know, to believe. And that's really hard to do for people on earth because we are so, I don't know, we like to have right and wrong. It makes us feel comfortable to know that there are rules. And when people break the rules, then we say, okay, you're not a good Christian. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, it takes a very different approach to believe that I don't have to do it your way to still be connected to God. And until enough of us cross over and reincarnate and come back and say what it's really like, we don't know. We just don't know. Now, some people have gone over.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But right there, you know, we're gonna bring our good friend Dr. Apple on the air to kind of join the conversation. Dr. Apple, are you there?
I am here, Nazim. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we do. Loud and clear.
Wonderful. I just wanted to say thank you. Midge Noble, not only is she a wonderful guest on your Reconnected show, but we really appreciate having her on the student to teacher show. And Midge, I just wanted to really give you kudos for the way you're bringing out how important the source is in a counseling session, in our interaction with anybody at any level. But certainly, I think that we miss that many times with those of us that are working, with even teachers working with students. We miss the spiritual component that is so important in putting together the way we're going to communicate with others. For me, especially in the field of rehabilitation counseling, whenever I do a plan, I look at not only the biopsychological, the biopsychosocial model, but also I bring in the spiritual component. It's very, very important, and it has so much to do with the reason why students drop out and have major emotional challenges is because they have not looked at the spiritual part of their life. So thank you for elaborating more on that. Nazim, also for you also. Kudos. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And with that, it's very important, you know, matter of fact, when I was practicing myself and I was with various clients, it seemed to me that my coworkers who, I guess, were not in line with this were amazed, I would say, at some results that I was getting with my clients because I was going there all the time. And but not even knowing what I was really doing, I mean, Spirit was leading me. I was being led, and I was just doing what I felt was natural to do because I didn't have a lot of formal training that my coworkers had, you know. And I read and studied, but I didn't have the formal training. And so I came from a different discipline. I came straight from the heart because I knew what was missing in my life, and so I wanted to give that to others for sure, you know. So I brought that all the time.
Yes.
And so a lot of the coworkers were amazed that clients were responding to me even, you know, a lot of times more so than them. And they said, well, who trained you? Where'd you get this information from?
Right. And I think knowing you, Nazim, the way I do, and Midge, I think that we both kind of like lean towards what we call the humanistic way of thinking, where we truly can show regard for the people that we're looking, we're working with, you know, an unconditional love and regard. And I'm not afraid to say I love you to a client or student in the text that I love the God within them.
Right.
I relate to God within them, and I try to specify that because there's so many underlying motives going on in today's world with teachers and counselors. We have to be careful of not being misunderstood. But I do that unconsciously too, and I know exactly what you're saying. You really don't even know you're doing it.
Right. You don't know, but you got to be very careful. I've been in a lot of situations where I had even I wanted to say certain things, you know, but I said, you know. You just can't say them.
Yeah, even about God, right, Mitch? You can't even, you know, because the religious connotations take over and people get, you know, so far out there they think, you know, that you're trying to pull them into a religion when really you're just talking about a spirit that operates. I tell my students, they say, well, what do you call spiritual? And I say anything that is beyond the physical and mental that you cannot explain. Okay, so let's just leave it there. I'm not getting into Islam or Christianity or Judaism or anything like that. I'm just saying whatever that entity is that you really can't explain why your heart is still beating at night and your brain is still going and you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and often in my sessions, I will find out from the family, you know, are they religious? Are they spiritual? You know, do they profess a certain faith? And then and as I'm working with them, you know, I get permission to use that as their strength and to use that in the therapy sessions. So I even have one mom now that is Wiccan, and so we talked about what that was for her and how she's, you know, raising her child. And so I've been able to use the spirituality part of that in sessions with him when it's appropriate.
Wow.
So it's like a whole... you know, when I look at a person and I look at every level of where they are, everything about them, there's a strength within them that can be used to guide them and to offer support. So I'm always using, you know, I've got Wayne Dyer's children's books in my office and it has spirituality in there. And I use those all the time, the I Am book and the
mm-hmm.
you know, the Power of Positive Thinking. So those are very... I mean, I use those all the time in my office, and my families are very receptive to that. And I've noticed that people who may not be receptive, kind of, you know, anytime you're not energetically connected to someone, they vibrate out of your experience. And so, and that's okay. That's okay. And I tell them straight up, you know, that I'm the most different therapist you'll ever meet. I'm on my own little path, and you'll either love me or you'll hate me, and that's okay either way. I'm fine with that. So, you know, and it's worked out brilliant. I mean, we get a lot done. And part of that is because when you come from a place of service, if I'm using the gift that I have, which is my voice, and I'm choosing to be in service, then, you know, I will bring like-minded people to me that need what service I have, you know, to offer. And that's part of how I stay connected to Source is I choose to use the gifts I have. And I believe that Source brings me the people into the sessions that need to be aligned with that. And that's part of my spiritual journey. You know, the energy that I put out into the world, if I want that energy to come back to me, I need to be careful about what I put out there. You
right.
know, so that's the karma that we talk about. You know, if I'm putting out those low energy feelings and emotions, then I'm going to bring that back to me, and that's going to disalign me from Source. So I have
right.
to stay in those positive, energetic moments so that I stay in alignment and I'm connected.
Mm-hmm. I know that our good friend Esther Hicks talks about staying in the vortex.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's important because that's one of the things I say all the time in my meditations is that, you know, I am living an expanded life. I'm living expressive life. I'm living a connected life. So that, say, for instance, you know, you go in a store or you go outside and your mood might not be the best at first. You know, I repeat that affirmation. And when I do that, I immediately straighten up. I immediately get on the right channel, you know, because you never know. I'm sorry, say it again. I'm sorry.
I said I love that word expansion. That is wonderful.
Yeah, and so you see, you never know when the blessing will drop on you. You know, you never know, and it can never arrive unless you're in alignment. So, idea that, say, for instance, that you know, at 10:45, you know, you're in alignment. At 10:55, you're not, and your blessing is due to arrive at 11 o'clock. you know?
Right.
And you just missed the boat because at that time, you were out of alignment.
Well, when you said the word expansion, that made me think about how, you know, when you stay connected, if you follow the flow of inspiration, because as we've said before, the inspiration is in spirit. So you look for what flows effortless to you. And if you're expanding because you're following the flow of inspiration, you know, when I decided to move from school counseling to the mental health center, there was a pull in my heart. It was something that I could not ignore. And the same thing happened when the things were changing in the mental health center. I felt the pull. Other people were hunkering down and trying to ride it out, and I just energetically knew I've got to get out of here. I've got to go into a more private practice setting, and I followed that inspiration. You know, when I found the TogiNet radio show, and I decided to become the host, it was something that I just could not stop thinking about. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know why. I mean, the timing I didn't think was great because it just seemed like it just was too much to do, but I could not stop that flow of inspiration. And the last 2 years, you know, I shared with you before the show that my last show was last night, but the last 2 years have been just brilliant. And I've met people like you who have, you know, stayed connected, and we've made great, great, you know, energy between the two of us. You know, this,
yes.
Everything, when you do it in spirit and you don't let fear hold you back, then it flows. It does expand, and it does become something. So if we want to stay connected, we have to set the intention, just like you said, that in your meditation you set your intention to be expansive and to, you know, to be out there in the world. When we set our intention to be connected and stay aligned, then we let that become our first priority. We cannot not do it. And then when we start to feel the slip happening and we start to go out of alignment, we will recognize it quicker and quicker because we are so used to how it feels to be aligned that we automatically know when we're not. I had a client say to me the other day, because we've been working on this for a long time, and she said, you know, the other day I recognized that I was watching something and it felt bad, and I turned it off. And she said, I never would have done that before. I don't think I would have just been numbed out. But now the energy is so alive that when you start to feel the slip, you feel it right away. So living fearlessly is one way to stay connected and to be on purpose, because the fear can either be the energy that propels us forward, or the fear will shut us down and get us out of alignment.
So what would you call the opposite of that? When you think about fearlessly, so if they're going to live a fearless life, what kind of life are they really living?
If they're living a fearless life?
If they're living, a fearless life, then what is that? So you're taking away something. You're taking the fear away. What are you replacing it with?
Faith.
Okay.
And inspiration.
All right.
Yeah, because I was fearful to host the show. I didn't know how to do it, and I had to do it, but I didn't know how to do it. And before the first show, I was in the bathroom more than I was. I didn't know if I was going to get out of the bathroom to do the first show because I was that nervous. I know it's okay. I made it for 2 years. I was fine. But you know, the fear. I had to believe in the inspiration. I had to trust and have faith that where I was being pulled to is what I, because, and I knew that it was okay because it wasn't going to hurt me and it wasn't going to hurt anybody else. It wasn't anything negative. So I might have fear to do something that I know is going to wind up hurting me or someone else. Well, then I might need to listen to that because that's part of what I'm being told, don't do that. But if my fear can be traced back to just the anxiety of the unknown, or, you know, maybe not trusting myself enough, then that's a lesson I need to learn. You know, if I stay aligned and I'm doing something out of inspiration, then the fear is only the energy that's either trying to pull me out of alignment or help me push through it. With every great performance and people before they go on stage or before they, you know, do something in front of people, they often say, I get stage fright or I am anxious. Yes, there are nerves.
Yes.
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 But then they go out and they nail it. And the reason
right.
they
point.
That is because they didn't let the fear win, and they used their anxiety to turn, and they turn it into energy to push that inspiration forward.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point, because I've been there many times like that, and that's exactly what happened. You know, I knew it was going to happen, and I pushed forward anyway, even though the heart was racing fast and, you know, the hands might have been shaking a little bit and all that. The idea that you go out there knowing it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful event, and it will be very effective.
It's all about choice. It's all about choice.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's about choice, and it's also about what, you know, the buzzword now is to fill in your grid. And the grid is like your intentions, like Nassim was saying, what am I going to put into my grid for my day? How am
yeah.
I going to think about it? What choices of words am I going to use? What choices will I make along the way? How do I expect this to go? And if I put my intention on all positive feelings, thoughts, and expectations, and I stay aligned with that, my grid is filled in, and I will get exactly what I intend.
Mm. Mm. Well, okay. All right. We know that's a good way to close the program out there. Before we do that, Ms., talk about your book and your books. How many books do you have out right now?
I have two books.
Two.
One is called Sheba, Home is Where Your Heart Is.
Ah.
And it's about a dog who was abused and neglected and was found in a snowbank, and she had to learn how to trust and find her forever home, which was a true story for Sheba, and so that was one book. I use it with the kids that I work with in foster care and that need to be adopted. And then the Ice Cube Award, Learning to Be Cool Under Pressure, is all about learning how to work through anger issues, to love and approve of yourself, and to, you know, make sure that you stand in your place of power without being a bully. Even though I have ended my show, Second Chances, you can still get those shows on podcast through TogiNet Radio Live, and I'll post that on your site as I always do. And then also
mm-hmm.
catch me on my blog, LaylaHaven.blogspot.com. I haven't been real active on it, but I will be more active now that I'm not also the host of the show. You know, follow my journey, because I was telling you before, you know, I'm ending this phase of my life, but I'm expecting bigger and better things to come, because I'm open and I will be inspired.
Ooh, all right. Well, make sure and put that on my homepage under the comment section if you can.
I will.
And that's the place I tell people they can always go to see more information about the guests and their products and services, their websites, how to get in touch with them, and how to connect with them. It's very important. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you hear something and you say, man, what they said 5 minutes ago, I missed it. And even though they can go back and hear it, idea that I'm visual. I'm a very visual person. And what happens is that I need to have something I can see. And so when you
right.
go on that home page and you can see, oh, there it is, www. Oh, okay, now I got it. And we just connect that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're all different. You know, we're all wired differently. There's nothing wrong with that. We can't, you know, visual people can't be against those who are audio. I mean, we're all different.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
But if you connect more with that, then you connect more with that. So what we try to do, what we do is make sure you have a connection in those areas that are more aligned with you and your spirit. So you can go to blogtalkradio.com/reconnected and slide down there on the home page under the comment section. You'll see information about the guests and Midge's program, her books. I implore you to, you know, buy the books and listen to her shows. And do more of that. There are a lot of podcasts there on the Reconnected show you can listen to. And fill your day with this. If you have a barrage of this kind of message, the Reconnected messages, that's what they're all called, Reconnected messages coming in on a regular basis, you know, there's no room for other stuff. There's no room for that drama stuff you hear, you see on TV. No room for it, because you can download
right.
these and make your own CDs and put them in your kitchen on your CD player there, your iPods. You can play them all the time and have them going all the time, even if you're not consciously listen to it. You could be washing dishes or doing something else, doing your housework, whatever, and have it playing in the background. You know, that's okay, because what happens, it goes into your subconscious. It's all okay. It's back there. Really, that's a great way to listen to programs where you're not consciously listening, because what happens is that when you're consciously listening, you're filtering. You're filtering, you know. You're judging. Oh, I don't like that one. Well, that's okay. Well, I like that point. I don't like that point. Who is she in the first place? I don't know. Yeah. You know. And ego comes in and starts ruling and tells you what to listen to, what not to listen to. And so background is good. You put it in the background, you know, and don't worry about anything else. Just put it back there and do your work. And you'd be surprised how your life unfolds. You'd be surprised. You know, there's so much stuff on TV that draws into, you know, being in this aligned and disconnected. You know, you can turn around. You can do it. You know, you might say, how can I do that? You're in control. Download these podcasts and start playing them regularly, all the time. You create the voices. Voices will talk to you. Yes, they will. But you create the voices. You create the voices that tell you what to do, you know, and so forth. And one thing that Abraham said one time that was pretty amusing, she says, the angels are conspiring, you know, to build your life the way you want it to be. They're conspiring for your greatness. They're conspiring for your wonderfulness, your divineness, you know. And they're like right. your cheerleaders that find new ways to put you on top.
Right.
You see? If you think about that, say, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be up here. I'm supposed to be in a position where I can actually be comfortable, have choices, more choices and options, help people to be more aligned themselves. I'm supposed to be here. Oh, this feels good. I like it here. Okay. Yeah, here I am. You know, how do you get there? By doing all the things I was saying. You create your environment, and you can do that. So there we go. So, bitch, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Coming in. And think. By the way, Dr. Apple has her own show called Student 2 Teacher Show. It happens an hour before my show. And you can tune in to her show anytime and all the time. And you hear from great things, you know, concerning with veterans and those who call themselves disabled. And a lot of great information there. So tune into her show for sure. And if you can, if you're in a position to donate to help veterans out, help those who have special needs out, you can do it through the White Apple Institute. And you can go around her website. Dr. Apple, are you still there?
Yes, I'm.
Okay. And can you tell people what your website is real quick?
WhiteAppleInstitute.org. And I just want to say quite openly that we appreciate you so much, Nazim, for all the great positive information that you bring to us. And thank you for serving on the board for WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, thank you. All right, we're going to sign off now, so I appreciate everybody coming on. Just remember, when you find yourself disconnected, just get reconnected. You can do it. Thank you. Thank you, Midge. Thank you, Dr. Apple.
Thank you.